All right. Good morning. Again, one more time, just remember it's camp season. there are camps that are already getting filled up. We were registering for Mountaintop, and we had to do that quite quick. So think about Bethel. Think about Greenwood Hills, Aletheia. There's all a lot of camps around us. So 26 Below Conference is coming up. Youth Rally is coming up in April, April 19th and 20th. So be in prayer for these things, especially for our young people today. I really always encourage to lift up our assembly young people for their life and their growth in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. Okay, we're going to be in John chapter 2. We'll go ahead and read. I'm going to actually read John chapter 2, 1 through 25, because we're really looking at Jesus' beginning of his ministry and what he's declaring, right? Declaring who he is, his purpose, his mission, his authority. So I'd like to read beginning with verse 1, John chapter 2. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water," and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. I'm going to pause there and skip to verse 13. So it's very interesting. You look at the first miracle, and Jesus begins his ministry with this miracle. And it's really a display of his the miracle of his authority and declaring who he is. Now we go into verse 13. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, "Take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise." Then his disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house has he eaten me up." So the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign do you show to us since you do these things?" Verse 19. Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Then the Jews said, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now, verse 23, now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men. And had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to look into your word. Lord, I pray that you would calm our hearts now, Lord, and help us to focus on your word. Lord, may I get out of the way, Lord, and your words be spoken, and that the Holy Spirit, Lord, will reveal things to us, Lord, that we need to take seriously from your word. Lord, we want to glorify you in our lives, Lord, and to be a testimony unto the lost, Lord. So help us, Lord. Help us to be transformed and to think upon your words. We thank you. In your precious Son's name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When I was thinking about this, you know, it's interesting. I was speaking last week at North Raleigh, and therefore, when you have another message before an assigned message here, I'm like, okay, I just kind of pushed myself to study earlier and prepare earlier for this message. And it's all God because I revamped the whole message. Because, you know, when you, it's like a sponge. You have to keep soaking it in and reading it often and studying it often. And the Lord reveals things unto you more and more. So that's where I am right now with this message. But I came to this thought of signs and temples. This idea in this portion of scripture and Jesus' beginning ministry and then the first miracle and then the first Passover, we see here a revealing of Jesus Christ. And specifically in this passage, the authorities bring up signs, but Jesus is going through the temple, right, and making havoc, right? And then it's the idea of, oh, Jesus is bringing to mind temples, what was it formerly known, or what was the purpose of temples? And then they bring up signs. What signs do you show of your authority? You know, what signs declare who you are? And it's very interesting that this portion here, John really covers the declaration of the Son of God, his authority. We talked about in John chapter 1, his divinity, right? And he has declared him. So this is just from the John chapter 1 again. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, okay? The truth of his Word, right? Being revealed. In John 1:18, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. So we see here a revealing of Jesus, his authority, and his purposes of grace and truth. And then now look on the other side of it. How have they corrupted these things? How have they negated God's truth and God's grace? So those are the things that I think about as we go through this passage, is God's version and what Jesus shows himself to be, and how man is blinded, has adulterated it, has negated it. These are the things that I see that John displays Jesus as revealing in man's hearts. Okay, so these are some of the things I want to talk about. In the start of Jesus' ministry, we begin to see the declared Son of God and him showing and declaring his authority before a corrupted world. We also see his purpose and his heart to show an adulterous generation how far they have strayed from God's holiness, righteousness, and mission. Okay? How do we see that in this portion of Scripture? Well, his obedience in remembering the Passover feast, his reaction and response to an unholy sight, Jesus' answer to the blind leaders, and his declaration of his plan of salvation. Okay? So how do I want to look at this? Two questions real quick to frame our understanding. Do you follow the signs of the world or the truth of Jesus Christ? Do we follow what people tell us and what we need to understand? Or do we follow the truth of Jesus Christ, who he is, what he did, and how we were supposed to live for him? And then another thought I had is, what is the state of your spiritual heart and mind? Or what is the spiritual condition of your temple? Okay? What is the spiritual condition of your temple? These are the ideas that are brought out in this scripture passage. So this is the things I want to talk about. Why signs? Why signs? Well, in this passage, the authorities bring this up because in Scripture, signs are always used in the meaning of miracles or revelations of some sort to prove the message or the miracle is of God, and therefore the authority is based from him. This is very interesting, the signs. Here, Jesus calls this thinking out. They say in verse 18, so the Jews answered and said to him, what sign do you show to us since you do these things? Jesus calls their thinking out, their false thinking out. He calls this thinking out to show the people that they are so blind and have lived in this adulterous generation for so long that they cannot even see what was before them, right? As Jesus, the Son of God. Turn with me real quick. This is all introduction. I have a very long introduction, okay? Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. It's like I'm priming the pump, okay? I'm trying to prime the pump here. Matthew chapter 12. Very familiar portions here. 38. Matthew 12, 38. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, "Teachers, we want to see a sign from you." Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. But he answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." So the sign they wanted to continue to see signs of miracles, but what does Jesus point them to? His purpose, right? His purpose, what he was called to do. Jesus calls authorities out because of their faithless and wicked hearts and missing him, Jesus, as the Messiah. A few pages over, Matthew 16. Matthew 16, 1, verse 1. Then the Pharisees and Sadducees came and testing him, asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. A sign from heaven. And he answered and said to them, "When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah." And he left them and departed. Signs of this world versus the sign of Jesus himself. Recognizing Jesus himself. What are we seeking today? Can we be condemned like the Pharisees and the religious elite? Have we become cold to Jesus? Have we become cold to Jesus? I think that in this passage, they're so filled in their religion, their religion of doing things, that they miss the ultimate sign of Jesus himself. What does Jesus bring to light? Temples. He uses the temple, right? Place of worship. Jesus brings to light the idea of worship and reverence for God's holiness. In God's holiness, in this passage, we see Jesus' passionate zeal for his holiness and what man has made it to be. We should all listen closely and think about why Jesus' response in the temple was so severe. Okay? I want you to think about this. Jesus comes to the Passover feast, right? He comes as an obedient Jew. These three main feasts, and the men make this pilgrimage to Passover, to Jerusalem, to take part, to bring the offerings. And Jesus comes to the temple, okay? And there's so many different illustrations of this, but I want you guys just to see the court of the Gentiles, right? The court of the Gentiles, the court of Israel, the altar, the holy place, the court of the priests. The purpose of the temple was what? Worship. Was a place to say, this is of God. We go to sacrifice and we go to meet God and worship. And what was supposed to be what kind of place? A holy place, right? A set apart place. But what does Jesus see when he comes to the temple, okay? I want you guys to think about it. Verse 13 of John chapter 2. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers doing business. You know, this place right here, the court of the Gentiles, you know, they're separate from the Jews. But this was a place where they could come to worship, right? This was a place where the Jews could be a testimony to the Gentiles, to be a place of prayer, to be a place of a purpose, right? To meet God. But what does Jesus find? What does Jesus find? He finds a temple full of oxen being sold, sheep, doves, and the money changers doing business. What do we see here? This was supposed to be a holy feast to remember God's judgment and holiness, right? What was the Passover? Was a picture of liberation from Egypt, right? And God deliverance. Therefore, you come to remember. But what does Jesus find? It was a place of commerce. A place stinking of animals. A place stinking of the greed of business, right? Isn't this the picture of the world? Was this supposed to be a place of the world?
Yeah.
Or a place of worship? Right? This is the meaning I want us to get. And this is how I want us to kind of think about this is, I have some C's, okay? So see if you could remember these C's, okay? Think about this, and what does it reflect? Jesus coming into the temple, and why is he so extreme in his response, okay? When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple. When the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And what does he say to them? Take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise. Why is it so extreme? Corruption of God's holy house. The corruption of God's holy house. 19 acres was supposed to be a place of worship, but it became this court of Gentiles, a place of commerce. They had contempt for the Gentiles themselves, and therefore the priest said, let's set up this area where it could be probably an ease of exchange of business, right, for long pilgrims to come and buy whatever they need or something, or even the most poverty-stricken, right, they could come and buy a dove, right? They could come buy a dove for sacrifice. But also, they said money changers, right? This was a big deal back in that day. Roman currency versus Jewish currency into the temple. There had to be conversion, right? Can you imagine, were they truthful in their exchange? Were they truthful, or were they looking at this as a lucrative business idea, right? I don't know. I think with Jesus' extreme reaction, a cord of whips. Can you imagine? Jesus was so passionate in what they've done. They corrupted what was supposed to be a place of worship to a place of commerce. In Matthew 21:13. He comes into the court of Gentiles. This is the second Passover. Matthew and Mark talks about the second Passover. And it says, a house of prayer has become a den of thieves. Mark 11:17 says, and he was teaching them and saying to them, it is not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. But you have made it what? A den of robbers. This gives us a look into what the Jews and the authorities were doing. Corruption of God's holy house. You know, we should reflect, right? First Corinthians, you don't have to turn here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 6:19. Oh, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. Corruption. This is the problem that we need to think about. What's another thing that I thought about here? Convenience of ease and wealth. convenience, right? They thought it was convenient to make God's house a house of commerce. But Jesus, in his reaction, thought otherwise. Authorities thought it convenient to have a cattle market for all sacrifices right next to the altar. Money changers. Tax on all Jewish men 20 years and older, half a shekel to pay for the maintenance of the temple. Pilgrimage was made to Jerusalem for the feast and to pay tax and offer sacrifices. No money with the emperor's image can be accepted into the temple coffers. So all pilgrims would need to exchange their monies to pay for sacrifices and pay for temple taxes. What corruption with this amount of money exchanging hands. They were called. The Jews were called to be a house of prayer for all nations, right? But they have made it a place corrupted and a place of convenience. You know, this is, it goes to the minds and hearts of what was happening in that day. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 23. I couldn't get by this. When Jesus announces seven woes on the Pharisees, these hypocrites. Matthew 23:13 says, "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore you will receive greater condemnation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte. And when he is one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, whoever swears by the temple, it is nothing. But whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold?" What a condemnation by Jesus. Here we see what has happened in the hearts of men at that time and what Jesus was trying to convey, right? He's declaring himself and he comes to clean house, right? And he calls them out. These same woes are some warning signs for us, right? These are warning signs for us. 2 Timothy 3:1-5. But I understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power, and avoid such people. These people of these days, the authorities, the Jews, right? Well, we could say they were having the appearance of godliness, but denying the transformation power of Jesus. Oh, I don't know if you guys see it, but I think Jesus' response was valid. Absolutely valid. And when we think about our own lives, right? Our bodies are the temple. Corruption has convenience snuck into our lives. Jesus' response shows us how serious God takes sin and his holiness. He took the whip of cords. He poured out the coins, money changers, overturned their tables. "Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of trade." His disciples remembered that it was zeal for your house will consume me. Another C here is condemnation. Condemnation. Against a holy and just God. Can you think about him coming to the Passover at the beginning of his ministry? He's probably been there many times, right? Before. But he comes here and he says, Jesus fashioned a tool to drive them out of the area, to cleanse the place where people were to call out to God and not fear the access to him. He poured out the money changer's money, his disdain for wealth and manipulation. He overturned the tables of commerce, upending the ruling authorities, the way of doing things and setting things right. The Lord's fearless reaction to saying, take these things away, do not make my father's house a house of merchandise. What was a place of prayer had become a barn stable with all kinds of smells and the stench of money making and victimization of all kinds of people before the Lord's eyes. The disciples' response was, they remembered Psalm 69:9, the zeal for thine house has eaten me up. I think this was an accurate reaction. Do we think about this? The holiness of God. My father says this a lot. When he looks upon the world today and he sees such evil, such sinfulness, he says, there's coming a day where the holiness of God will be understood. The reverence of God. Let me move forward here. Verse 18 through 22. So they see this happen. They see Jesus' response. Jesus is holding a whip of cords. And he's declaring, take these things out of the house, out of my father's house. And what do they say? How do they react? So the Jews said to him, what sign do you show us for doing these things? It's kind of like they may have understood some of what the wrongs they were doing. And he says, what sign do you show us for doing these things? Jesus answered them, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. The Jews then said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple and will you raise it up in 3 days? Verse 21, but he was speaking about the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. I think this is very clear that John speaks of this and recalls this and writes this down. Jesus points them to, what, you guys are still wanting signs. Well, there will be an ultimate sign. You guys are caught up in miracles. You are caught up in all these little things that bring up no value. But I am the Messiah, and destroy this temple, Jesus Christ, and in 3 days I will raise it up. They couldn't understand. They still were thinking earthly, 46 years to build this temple. Here, I kind of thought here of compassion. Jesus was pointing out in his own life, in his own ministry, he was going to show them the love of God. And the love of God to bring salvation. Jesus speaks of his ministry and purpose. In his own body, he will save the world and have victory over sin and death. Jews' response was always looking for signs and miracles. It gives you an idea that they were still unbelieving. They had no faith. They were thinking about 46 years to build this temple, but Jesus was speaking about him. Jesus' sign was to speak of his own body as the temple that would die for the whole world's sins and then be raised again by God to conquer sin and the grave. They were not able to discern what Jesus was saying. Jesus would sacrifice his own body on the cross. You know, there's an interesting verse. These verses here, I kind of had to add more to this. Very interesting passages, verse 23 through 25, as we think about the last point here. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. Signs, miracles, right? The signs that he did. Verse 28 is kind of condemning. I mean, not 28, 24. But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. You know what I thought here? A cleansing, right? Cleansing. Jesus knew their hearts. Many people believed in him because of the signs or miracles, but Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew their hearts and lack of true understanding of who he is and what he had come to do. Miracles were done to display God's glory and authority, but it was always to bring them to truth. It was always to bring them to faith, right? They stopped at the miracle, right? They stopped at seeing these miracles, and they always wanted to be healed, and Jesus was willing, right? But the purpose was what? Miracles were to display God's glory, and that God's glory was to bring them to faith, which they were missing, right? Jesus was cleansing. Not only was he cleansing the temple, he was trying to cleanse their hearts to understand who he is and to show them their need. These people's hearts were 1 inch deep, always looking for the next miracle and sign, and not committing their lives over to Jesus Christ. So many in this world, right, are full of religion. They're full on what's next for me, or what's the next sign. Jesus died, he was buried for 3 days, and he rose again. What more do you need? In the power of the resurrection, we have all that we need. The ultimate sign, himself. These verses are very condemning in this part. And this is at the start of his ministry. But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men, their hearts. You know, I was thinking about a few closing verses here. Romans 10, 1 through 4. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. You know, this idea of form of godliness, right? They had some form of it, but they were not committing to who Jesus is. This is powerful. This is convicting in our hearts, right? Signs and temples. Jesus was cleansing the temple, but he was showing a bigger and larger thought here and perspective. You know, another verses that I looked at was John 3, 18 through 21. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because of their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, and that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. You know, I was thinking about this thought here. But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Can Jesus accept you because of your faith? What is the spiritual condition of your temple? Are you still looking for signs, or have understood the sign of Jonah in the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, we should think about these C's again: corruption, convenience, condemnation. But Jesus showed us compassion, right? He showed us an ultimate sign is Jesus himself as the Messiah. And Jesus was calling them out to come to him. You don't need more signs. Come to faith. Come to know him and place your faith in him. He was cleansing the temple here to show a bigger and greater picture and his desire for true worshipers. Come to the temple. Let him come and be in you, in your lives. This is the call of the gospel, isn't it? This is the call of the gospel, and we should really challenge our hearts and our minds to be known by Jesus Christ, right? And to allow him to come into our lives. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, what a joy it is again to examine your word. Lord, what a joy it is to think about your perspective on earth, Lord, when you came here and you saw a place of worship that was so corrupted and that was supposed to be a meeting place to meet God, a house of prayer, to be a place for all nations, but it became so corrupted. So corrupted, a place of convenience, of wealth, of the evils of materialism, and a distraction to true faith, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we will be called to you, Lord, that we would not be a place of corruption, Lord, but have placed our faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, for you have done it all, once and for all, on the cross of Calvary. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you call all to you. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord. May we be challenged as we think about your scripture. May it resonate in our hearts, Lord. And may we be challenged to live a life that is holy, that is purposeful, that is righteous before you, Lord. We thank you. In your precious Son's name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.